The roots of Relief Society and welfare lie at its very founding, for it was at the first meeting that the prophet Joseph Smith admonished the sisters to reach after the objects of charity, to minister to their wants. How well they accepted the charge is reflected in a report of the Nauvoo Necessity Committee of 1843. Sister Jones, Sister Meekham, and myself have visited our ward, went to every house, found many sick, found Sister Miller, an old lady, sick without bed or bedding, no changes of clothing, found Sister Broomley very sick, nothing at all to eat. The sisters rose one by one and offered the needed donations. Sister Woolley would give 1 yard of fine muslin, a flannel petticoat, 60 cents. Sister German, a suit of clothes for old Sister Miller. A young Nauvoo widow with several children, Sister Ellen Douglas, gives a glimpse of the early Relief Society ministrations in a later letter dated April 4, 1844, to her parents in England. She wrote, "I was taken very ill. Sometimes I thought I should die, and then I thought of my poor children. I prayed for their sakes that I might live. Our prayers were answered." After she began to recover, she visited a friend who suggested she make, and I quote, "application to the Female Relief Society for some clothing which I needed for myself and family." I reluctantly agreed, and we went to one of the sisters of the society. I told her while I was sick, my children wore out their clothes because I could not mend them. So she said she would do the best she could for me. In a few days, they brought a wagon and fetched me such a present as I never received before from no place in the world. End of quote. In the Salt Lake Valley, the sisters continued their ministrations, sometimes in dramatic ways. As Sister Lucy Maserby Smith, wife of Apostle George A. Smith, recalls in her reminiscence, and she adds to the story that President Hinckley has given us, news of the approach of a handcart company came to President Brigham Young as he was conducting October conference in the old tabernacle. She stated in her reminiscences, "President Young and others were so excited and anxious for fear those companies would be caught in the snows in the mountains, they could not go on with the conference. The president called for men, teams, clothing, and provisions. The sisters stripped off their petticoats, stockings, and everything they could spare right there and piled them into the wagon to send to the saints in the mountains." Other conditions and other times in the history of the church created other challenges and responses and new frontiers for Relief Society and welfare work. Today is such a time. The poor are still with us. There are refugees, the homeless. There's an ever-increasing number of aged. There are those without work, the sick, the bereaved, the poor in spirit, those with personal problems and burdens that press upon them. Even in our urban society, more and more suffering from feelings of isolation. There is no social ill that hasn't in some way affected us, bringing the need for succor and prevention. So, what is or what shall be Relief Society's response as an organization, as leaders, as individual members of Relief Society? Though the problems of our day are enormous, we have excellent resources with which to solve them. In addition to the 1.5 million women members, Relief Society's greatest asset, the organization itself is one of the most important church welfare resources. As leaders, as individual members of Relief Society, though the problems of our day are enormous, we have excellent resources with which to solve them. In addition to the 1.5 million women members, Relief Society's greatest asset, the organization itself is one of the most important church welfare resources. First, because its chief purposes have always been welfare related. Second, because in its curriculum, welfare principles are taught, and sisters are provided a laboratory experience, training them in personal and family preparedness, in parenting, and in homemaking. Third, because the organization is a structure through which the prescribed welfare program of the church is carried out. Fourth, It is a fast, effective means of providing women volunteers for welfare. To illustrate, after the collapse of the South Vietnamese government, many refugees were sent in 1975 to the United States. As the first group came into the Presidio Army base in San Francisco, Relief Society sisters in that area were called during the night to come to the base to help wash, feed, and put clean clothes on the children. The sisters began arriving at 4 a.m. and worked all day, giving immunization and treating infection, comforting and ministering to the homeless children. As an organization, Relief Society provides a network through which every woman can be quickly reached in times of disaster. In the Teton Dam disaster of 1976, calls for needed volunteer help went from nearby state Relief Society presidents to ward presidents, to visiting teaching supervisors, to visiting teachers, to sisters who responded willingly. Thus, in a very short time, the needed help was recruited. Another important resource for dealing with welfare problems is informed, compassionate Relief Society leaders. When a Relief Society president and her counselors attend welfare service committee meetings and contribute meaningfully to discussions, when they observe welfare needs of members and bring that information to the agendas of welfare meetings, when they help implement the action of welfare committees, they are carrying out the welfare objectives of the society. A ward Relief Society president making a daily needs visit at the direction of the bishop is ministering to the needy. A president training visiting teachers to search out the poor and needy is following the prophet's early instruction. Too often, needs go undiscovered because they're not readily observed. Ward Relief Society presidents, therefore, should instruct visiting teachers on how to recognize signs of depression, of loneliness, and of physical want. One pair of sensitive visiting teachers visited the young family of a recently graduated dental student. The family had, through self-sacrifice and stringent budgeting, endured the hard years of schooling required of the husband. As the sisters visited the mother, they noticed that the soles of the shoes of the young children playing on the floor were completely worn through and would give scant protection to their little feet. This was confidentially reported to the Relief Society president, and the parents were persuaded to accept a little help until the young father could begin earning. Of all the ways Relief Society furthers the welfare cause, its best effort comes as it helps individual sisters anticipate and meet their own needs, for welfare problems are most effectively solved before they become problems. Therefore, when you, the individual member, put into daily practice the principles of welfare, you are personally reducing the woe of the world. When you add to your home storage, particularly with goods you have produced by your hands, in your garden or with your needle, or in your kitchen, you are addressing welfare needs in the most effective way. When preventative health care, good nutrition, and financial management are practiced by you, the individual sister, the welfare sister is working. When you teach your children how to work, when you as members and your children become educated and engage in appropriate employment and careers, future problems are averted. The emotional support and strength that you Relief Society sisters can provide one another can be as important or more so than is food or shelter. The husband of a sister recently lost his job. In relating the experience, she said the family was financially somewhat prepared in that they had food storage and some money saved, but they were not prepared for the emotional shock of unemployment. The wife recalled that the single greatest help the family received to lessen the trauma of that experience was the love and sympathetic concern by the Sisters of Relief Society. In a spiritual living lesson a few years ago, we were told, fear that we haven't enough energy, money, and time can keep us from giving love. We may think we can't feed all the hungry, lodge all the homeless, nor comfort all who grieve. Therefore, we will help no one. But Alma has told us, by small and simple means are great things brought to pass. $1 given for a welfare assessment or a fast offering, one day of volunteer service, a visit, even without the loaf of bread, multiplied by 1.5 million members, can relieve much suffering. Thus, though frontiers of welfare needs stretch before us, different in scope than those of 1842, but similar, too, the challenge for Relief Society today remains as then, to search out the poor, to minister to their wants, to prevent problems by learning, teaching, and practicing the principles of welfare. The Lord spoke plainly when he told Joseph Smith, "And remember in all things the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted, for he that doeth not these things, the same is not my disciple." I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.